This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Before we get started with this episode, we want to remind you about our 2021 listener survey that we are doing at rotoscopers.com/2021survey. We want to get your feedback about the show, what you like, what you don't like, so that way we can make the show as magical as possible for you guys. And as a bonus and a thank you for taking the survey, we're going to give one lucky survey taker a $50 Shop Disney gift card. So all you have to do is go to rotoscopers.com/2021survey. To take the survey. Thank you so much, and on to the show.
You're listening to the Animation Addicts Podcast, episode 224, Descendants, The Royal Wedding. They probably want me to care, but I just don't.
To the Animation Addicts Podcast with the Rotoscopers, the number one place to get your animation fix with animation addicts just like you. Each episode, we dive into the wonderful world of animation featuring Disney, DreamWorks, Pixar, and everything in between. From hilarious discussions and movie reviews to interviews with industry insiders, this show's mission is to brighten your day through our love of animation. So hop on your nerdy couch, grab some snacks, and get ready to hang out with your animation besties, because it's time to dive into today's episode. Hey there, animation addicts. I'm your host, Morgan Stradling.
And I am Chelsea Robson.
And Chelsea has just returned from the most magical place on earth. And no, that's not the Kingdom of Auradon. It is Walt Disney World. Chelsea, tell us all about it.
It was so great. So they're doing the 50th anniversary of Walt Disney World right now. And so at the Magic Kingdom, they have the entire Main Street lit up and part of the main fireworks show, as well as a huge fireworks show, which you know is expected. But then, like, they have this really great, awesome, how many superlatives can I throw into this? I don't know, but they all deserve to be there. This show that they project onto the castle itself, and the castle is so pretty. Oh, it was so much fun.
That is so cool.
And I'm excited for Morgan to go too.
Yes, I have never been to Disney World. Chelsea has. I have never been. I don't know what is wrong with me, but I'm finally getting my act together, and I am going to Walt Disney World in just a few short weeks. And I am so, so pumped. So, Chelsea, you are getting me really, really excited.
Yeah, so it's so cool because there really wasn't a lot of lines. I got a park hopper pass, and mm-hmm. The longest line I went to was at Animal Kingdom for Pandora, which is the Avatar ride, and that one is so cool. Like, if you're
how ever, long was the ride for that?
About 40 minutes.
That was the longest ride.
Yeah, the line that we stood in.
Okay,
but that was we went on a Wednesday, so that was, you know, made it a lot easier. Weekends are going to be a lot more difficult to get in, especially because they're doing the 50th anniversary right now. But yeah, it was great. They had all the fun stuff at Magic Kingdom that you would expect. It's been about 10 years since I've been to Magic Kingdom. And so mm-hmm. It was almost like it was brand new, except it totally wasn't. So
yeah.
Which was so interesting. I realized as I was there that I was like, my parents actually went during the grand opening of Walt Disney World in 1971. And because they were married in 1970. And so they're like, oh, let's go there. And so I have, like, I don't know, booklets or something that my mom saved from when they went in 71. And now I'm here 50 years later. That's crazy, right?
Wow. Yes, it is.
So I was like, whoa, cool. But yeah, oh my gosh. I love Disney and I love Disney World. And I am not ashamed. The next day I went... shopping, and I was wearing a Disney art, the Disney shirt that you and I have from that we gave to the patrons. I was wearing that
Yes.
as we I was going around, and this guy comes over and he was just like, "Okay, have you been to Disney lately?" And I'm like, "Yes, I was there yesterday." He's like, "Oh my gosh, you have to tell me all these things." And so we were just like at the outlet mall here in Orlando, and he's just like, "Tell me everything. What are you from here? How often do you go? What is different? Tell me what it is." I'm like, "Oh my gosh, yes." And the thing is, I am the type of person that cries easily, and especially when it comes to Disney type stuff, I lean into the cheese. Like, it's I am so ready for it, and I love it so much. So I was talking to him about, I'm like, "Yeah, there's a point during like the castle part where I totally got emotional." And he's like, "Oh, good, because I do too." And my partner just makes fun of me. And I'm like, "Well, then his heart is made of stone, because this is worth crying for."
That's amazing. Oh, I can't wait. It's going to be great.
So this was how I spent my last couple of days. It's been amazing.
Nice. Cool. Yeah, that's an amazing shirt. So the shirt that Chelsea is referencing, it is the Walt Disney Animation Studios logo from the 90s. So if
Yes.
you are a millennial or you grew up in the Disney Renaissance, you know exactly what we're talking about. Do 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 do. That, you know, the blue one with the blue castle. So this is a gray shirt with the blue castle. So we gave that to all of our patrons. It was a lot of fun, and I love wearing that shirt. So, okay, well, with that, it's time for us to talk about another castle and another kingdom, one that people have been telling us to do forever, and that is the Descendants series.
I mean, I just
So,
really want to know, have people actually been telling us to do this, or have you just been telling me to do this?
both. Okay, so when Descendants first came out, so okay, let me just preface. The movie that we're going to be doing today is Descendants: The Royal Wedding. Okay, so there are three full-length Disney Channel original movies, and then this is the animated short, you know, kind of wrap up about the wedding. So if you have not seen the original Descendants films, you don't necessarily have to. It's not really a precursor, but it's very much recommended so you can get all the history and the backstory. But that being said, nope. Ever since this came out, I believe 2014, the first one came out, 2015. This was something that I was like, oh, this is perfect. This is like right up our alley, something that we absolutely will love. It's the kids of the Disney characters, both the heroes and the villains. What's not to love? It's a Disney Channel original movie. Over the years, these have gotten bigger and bigger and bigger and better and better and better. It was a musical, and I just never got around to watching it. And so finally, I saw this animated one, and the preview was a little bit deceiving, I will say, the little 30-second commercial that they had, where I was like, animated. Ooh, I kind of like the look of this. We'll put a pin in that. We will come back to that. And so I said, okay, I'm in. I'm going to watch this. And so I ended up, you know, binging the three and then watching this one. But yes, Chelsea, of course, after I saw it, I was like, well, I've already watched this. Now it's time to podcast about it. Chelsea, get with the program. Although some people in the patron group, they have been asking us to review this particular one as well. So I'm not just making this up. It was requested by both parties.
Perfect. Well, so it's not planned this way, but actually last episode when we did the very best villain songs, we were had like random villain songs popping into our head, and Morgan's like, "Oh, let's just do that next." And I was like, "Oh, dang it. Okay." Cuz
I see. I teed you up for that.
I had seen the first I had seen parts of the first one and parts of the second one. I hadn't seen any of the third, and I had not seen the animated one. And so today, you know, how you do anything is how you do everything, so you can't just, you know, scrimp and not watch these things if you're going to be watching the final one. So I'm like, okay, I did my own little marathon of all three in a row, and then followed by the animated one. And I was after the animated one pops up these CGI 2-minute short things, and I'm like, oh no, I'm not doing that. We're
I
stopping.
know. I saw the same one too. I'm like, should I? No. I've had enough
We're
at this
stopping.
point. Which although I did preview them, because those are called Wicked World, I think.
Yes.
And I thought, you know, let's just get a taste, because this, I guess the elephant in the room is the traditional animation that they use for this. I was like, okay, let's check out the animation there. It's CGI. You know, it's interesting. Why did they not go with the CGI? And there's so much history that we will not know about this film. But the CGI is okay. I just hopped in there and I got a little peek and watched, you know, 30 seconds. And I said, okay, like, this is okay. This is significantly better than what we got here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So put a pin in that. We will talk about it. I know the anticipation. You guys are just foaming at the mouth wanting to talk about the animation of this. And trust me, we all are. We're not the only ones who thought this. But let's just, before we even get started talking about this film, let's just talk about the other three really quickly. Just okay. To kick it off.
Since I've went through all the trouble of watching all three, I'm going to talk about all three at this point.
Yes. Yeah. This is our opportunity to get anything off our chest about the first three films.
All right. So for anybody who hasn't seen this, you can either stop now and go watch them, or I'm just going to go ahead and spoil all three right now. Is that cool?
That's cool.
All right. That's cool. All right, this is basically what I got from this whole thing. So first off, we've got Belle and Adam, aka the Beast, get married and centralize all the power of the other kingdoms to create one giant pseudo-empire, and they call it the United States of Aradon.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Yep.
Then they decide to round up all of the, you know, unmentionables, all of the underlings of villains, and send them to their own island in a very England to Australia kind of way in the like 1800s. Like,
yes.
This is how I'm getting out of this. Those villains then have kids of their own. Belle and Adam have a kid and for some reason decide to pass the throne to their son at age 16. I'm guessing it's really, at this point I'm thinking, okay,
why?
It's gotta be just like a figurehead position, if anything, because yeah, why? Why would you put...
I don't understand. Whenever they do this in movies, they're like, oh, you're coming of age. At 18, you get the crown. I'm like, no way would they do this. They would not.
Honestly.
I'm just happy to give it up. No, that's not how typically these monarchs work. Except for in movies when they have, you know, an up-and-coming youngster who they want to be the lead. And, you know, then they go from there. Like, I was thinking, what did I just watch? I watched the Amazon Cinderella, and it was okay. Kind of the same situation. I'm like, come on. No one's buying this crap. Especially when the dad, you know, typically it's very patriarchal in these, you know, monarchies. Like, especially, like, I understand maybe if the mom's still alive and he's the heir, and then, like, you're waiting until he turns 18. Get that. You know, kind of like in Game of Thrones, that happens. But I'm not buying when both parents are alive.
Right.
You're just, hey, 16-year-old, exactly. You're ready. Go. This is your big moment.
And at 16, too, because, like, I'll get to it later, but I'll jump into it actually right now. Like, he's falls in love, and he's, like, part of the song that he goes out is, like, I would trade my whole kingdom for just one kiss. And I'm like, you're really going to put all of your eggs in that basket right now?
You're really sheltered, huh? Yes, honey. Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe we should not do that.
All right. Okay. So moving on. As the soon-to-be king's first decree, because, you know, that's what centralized governments do. They make decrees. He says that he's just because the parents were evil doesn't mean the kids should have to suffer. And he wants to invite, quote, select kids to the school to give them a better life, but decides to send for the kids of the worst baddies of them all. Like, you don't even go for, like, some of the underling, like, the, you know, the just the random guy who's...
Madame Mim's daughter.
Yeah. Mean, you're not going for, like, the like... second-rate villains. Like, you're going for the baddest of the baddies, mm-hmm. and getting their kids. Okay. They have this moment where they pan across and they show all these different characters, and it's like, okay, you have lots of different kids there that are just, like, panhandling and, like, asking for food on the street. You couldn't go for one of them. Like, no, you're gonna go for the highest of the high. Okay, whatever.
Yeah.
Not, it wouldn't be my first choice, but, you know, going with it. But they did have a cool song, you know. Yeah, I'm, mm-hmm. I'm bad.
Because I'm bad, you're bad. Oh, wait, no, not
that's not
that
how
one.
It goes at all. I don't
know. Dang it. No, I was thinking the Michael Jackson one.
I know. But it's like they have their, like, oh, yeah, we're bad song. And then Maleficent, per the script, tells her daughter, Mal, to bring back the godmother's magic wand so she can fulfill her quest for world domination. I mean, here's the other thing is, unknowingly, Beast has actually made it a whole lot easier for a world domination power to take over, considering he's united all the kingdoms, and now there's only one, as opposed to, like, multiple federalism type thing going on here. But, you know, whatever. Mal and Evie, they go to this new school, plus the two boys, and will they follow their parents' footsteps? I don't know. Will they change their ways or help the baddies take over the world? As a spoiler, at the end, there is a giant dance party, because that's how we end these things.
Of course,
so
of course.
So that's movie number one.
Why wouldn't you?
Maleficent was played by the amazing Kristen Chenoweth.
Who became way, way, way too expensive, and they could never bring her back. If they want to reference her, let's just make her dragon form, which makes no sense.
Right.
Why is she the only one who's kind of contained as a dragon? But it's because she costs too much. So there we go, honey.
Like, we have to do something about this. But it got us there. The fact that she was in it got a lot of people to watch it. So, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And now you're stuck because you've sat through an hour and a half of this first one. So now you got to watch the next one. She has a really cool song that's like, "Do you want to be evil like me?" And I just have to say, I'm a much bigger fan of her as Maleficent than any of the other versions of Maleficent, just because I love her so much. So that's where I am with her. You've got Mal, who's played by Dove Cameron. And... Mm-hmm. I don't know much about her other than what I've seen in the last three movies. The Evil Queen was the lady from Sister Act that I can't like see her in any other role. Kathy Najimy. I don't know how to say your last name. I'm sorry. But I like how she's gone from like super evil queen to just really like vanity before sanity. I just really want everybody to look at me like super vain and superficial, but kind of like a dumb blonde type thing. She like plays that kind of a card. I don't know, but I like her. You got Evie. So Maleficent to Mal, and then Evil Queen to Evie. And then you have Jafar to just Jay, which, side note, hey, Seth from Twilight.
Oh, yes.
Boo-Boo Stewart.
He got a little older.
Yes.
A little older, a little buffer. I'll take it.
And then you have Cruella de Vil, and then to Carlos. Like, you couldn't do anything close to Cruella to Carlo. Like, everybody else's names are very close except for that one, but it's cool. It's cool.
Yeah. So those are the four. It's kind of like a test run that they're doing in this initial, you know, like movie to see, is it going to work out? Are they going to be okay? You know, he's being this kind of putting an olive branch out to the baddies, but at no point in time does it seem like he's ever, I mean, future, obviously this happens, but at the very beginning, it's like, hey, you know, the sins of the parents shouldn't fall on the sins of the children. So, hey, you guys can come to school with us.
Right.
And yeah, so that's where everything takes off. And I thought the first one was okay. Like, I liked more or less everything they were doing with it. Initially, this wasn't supposed to be a musical at all. But when the director the director is Kenny Ortega, and he is best known for his involvement in a lot of musicals, specifically the High School Musical series. And so when he was brought on, he was like, no, of course I'm going to make this a musical. Why wouldn't you make this a musical?
Exactly.
And I think that's one of the things that really stepped it up a notch. And another thing is, I really love the costume design in this first film, and then it carries off over into the second and the third one. Apparently it was one of the like winners or runners up for Project Runway.
Ooh.
And so she really got to cut her teeth and create some really, really cool designs. I just love how bold and bright they are. There's a lot of texture and fabrics and really, really good stuff. So I liked that. But
she's
the
all
first
about the
one,
bedazzle gun too.
Oh yes. Yeah. She busted that thing out. She probably had to buy 10 of them because they were probably dying with the amount of bedazzling that she was doing. So really, really good stuff. So yeah, the second one, you know, that's where Ursula's daughter comes about. And again, another epic dance party. When I was texting Chelsea, I was watching it. She was like, I'm like, hey, I was watching the second one. And she's like, oh, is that the one where they have the big water dance party at the end? That's all I know about it. I'm like, yep. So
every single one of them. Yeah. No, the second movie, yeah, you have the Royal Cotillion, where she will officially be made Lady of the Court. Mal is blonde. I'm not a fan because I feel like it washes her out. Ooh. And I was much more of a fan of the purple and whatnot.
Agreed.
Jay becomes big man on campus. Evie is loving capitalism. And Carlos is trying to get the courage to ask Jane to the dance. And she seems to have sent him to the Isle of Friendship. But they come back. So good for him. He got off that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have new nautical villains. We've got Captain Hook's son, Harry Hook. Which I was like, okay. And then Ursula's...
Real creative there.
Right. Ursula's daughter, Uma. How many names start with U anyway? So you got to find something. And then like the son of Gaston, which I never actually got his name. But yeah, so... Basically, Mal decides to run away because of the plot. Ben goes after her. He gets kidnapped. She has to rescue him again by trying to steal the magic wand again, because that's how we do things.
That's our plot. That's the plot. Yep.
And then I kept thinking, like, why does this dog have to talk? Why did we have to do this?
Mm-hmm.
It was, because the plot. Okay.
Because the plot.
Mm-hmm. And then Mal leaves her book behind, and then poor Ben gets love spelled again. I would not be trusting my feelings if I were him. Because it's like, how many love spells are you going to have to go through before you are no longer a target?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then Uma and Mal go into full beast mode, and they're like super powered up.
Right.
And then, spoiler alert, big dance party and the splashing on the water on the boat, which actually, I was a fan of that one.
No, it was visually, it was really cool, and it was really fun.
Of all the dance parties,
it was just,
that was my favorite.
It was just so silly, you know, with her being like, oh, you know, sorry, we're together now. It was supposed to be like her engagement party or whatnot, you know, like announcing the engagement with Mal. And he just like rolls up with Uma. And it was just not believable in the least.
Well, it's very Little Mermaid.
Yes, totally.
So
they had to do that. Yeah.
Okay. So we're moving on to movie 3, and it is VK Day, which is the villain kids day, where our four villain, like anti-villains, I guess, are now picking new kids to go to the school in Eridon, and they pick the twins of Smee, which, what?
Why?
Okay.
Because we wanted to have twins. Okay, great.
Dizzy, which we knew from the last time, and then the daughter of Dr. Facilier. And I was thinking, these were such throwaway characters. They had really no main input or anything during
that's the problem with these series. Sometimes when they start adding movies, they want to add more characters. But as you add more characters, everyone becomes a lot more diluted, because we still mostly care about like our main original gang, and so we have to spend time with them and Ben and some of the good guys, right? And so I'd say like there's probably like a core eight group of characters maybe, and then you know, and then we have all these other characters that also need their time, because to make it new and fresh, we got to add new characters. This is the big struggle with a lot of trilogies. And just as you're expanding onto a series, you can do it really well. I think Toy Story 3 does it really well. Mm-hmm. Toy Story 4, I think, doesn't.
No.
So there's this balance of the new and the old. And I think sometimes like we don't necessarily need a new. And I think that's what's happening in this one. It's like, okay, we brought in the new just to say that we did, but are they really necessary? Do we really care about them? No, we just did it to say that we did it, but we just want to go back to what we know, and what we know is good. So I feel like that's why at the end of the day, ultimately they're kind of throwaway.
Oh, yeah, completely throwaway. And they just couched them. They just like, okay, you're going to fall asleep on this couch for the rest of this movie.
Yes.
So anyway, we see Ben again, and Ben has gone brunette, and I'm thinking, what is up with that? I liked you much better as a blonde. But anyway, moving on. Hades tries to escape as Mal and the other three are taking their new recruits off the island. And so he says, oh, the barrier is opening. So he tries to get out. He sends a like magical thing at Mal, and then Mal turns and goes beast mode again and ends up like trying to take her power and stuff. And so she gets all freaked out. They close the gates, and Audrey, the daughter of Sleeping Beauty, is super jelly because Ben proposed to Mal And her granny comes at her and is like, oh, your mother could hang on to her prince in her sleep. So, of course, she's got this chip on her back that says, well, now I've got to turn into the villain. So while she is going off and stealing all of these things, Mal and the rest
it's not even that hard. That was the most frustrating thing. They have basically like a museum of these magical artifacts with a horrible security guard. And really anyone can just walk in. And then magic is not hard in this universe. Magic is literally if you have the enchanted object, boom, powers. And you're a master at all of the powers. So I thought that was kind of unbelievable, but hey, it's a Disney Channel original movie. Who am I to poke fun at it?
But yeah, so when she goes off, she steals a crown because, you know, she wants to be the queen, and Maleficent's scepter. And then everybody thinks that it's Uma, and Mal decides that she's like, okay, in order to save my own situation, I'm just going to have them close the barrier forever. And then all of the other villain kids are like, well, that's not good because look at us. How did you put yourself higher than any of the other people that haven't been able to get off the island? And we need to be able to let them off the island. And so that's like kind of what's going on in their heads. But yeah, then Audrey turns Mal into like an old hag and like very much like Beauty and the Beast wise. And I'm thinking, I really wanted them to pay that off more.
Or this does happen in Swan Princess, A Royal Wedding.
This is true.
You have not seen this one, but that happens. So Odette gets turned into an old hag. So maybe they're stealing plot points.
Oh,
well,
gosh.
No, that came out in 2020. So this actually, Swan Princess stole plot points from this one.
But yeah, they turn her into an old hag, and you're thinking it's going to be like really difficult for her to like turn back to normal. But no, it's going to be super easy, barely an inconvenience. She just has to go back into like the aisle, and bad magic doesn't work over there. So she's back to normal. Then the only way to fix this whole thing is for you to get the spark of Prometheus, I think, and Hades has it. And so they have to go and find him and get it. And plot twist, Hades is Mal's dad. So, so now
eventually these papas were going to have to come.
Yep. That's why she wanted to keep him in and why she was so like, close it. But yeah, so he ends up giving her the spark after a nice little musical number and then says that you can't get it wet, and then enters Uma because the plot. Uma took it and they're like, no, the spark is going to go out because you're a water demon thing. And she's like, not, it's all cool. Like, just keeps it. It's like, none of these have like long-term effects. None of these like rules that they put out have any long-term effects. Yeah, so now they have to like start help working together. Ben gets turned into the Beast, and I'm just gonna say facial hair does not work for him.
Oh no,
not at all.
You know I'm never a fan of facial hair, but I was not a fan of it at all.
No, it does not work. Anyway, then they're like, it'll all be better later, right, Mal? Because we're going to let all of the VKs out. Oh, wait, we aren't? What? You lied to me? Then Mal goes beast mode again in order to go up against Audrey and the magic scepter. And Uma decides she'll never be able to take her alone. So I'm just going to go ahead and forgive Mal and go up with Mal to defeat Audrey together. And then after all of that, Audrey is like struck and it can barely get up, and she's like fading away. She's gonna die, and the only way to save her is for Hades to come with the Prometheus spark to be able to bring her life back. And so at this point, he comes in and he's like, well, yeah, sure. When it's one of your own, they just lacked the judgment. But when it's one of us, it's unforgivable. And I'm like, you know what? Hades has got a point there.
Yep.
But yeah, so Mal says that she won't be queen unless she is queen over all of the lost as well. And I'm thinking, okay, does that mean you're basically expanding the empire once again? Like, what if they don't want you as their queen?
I mean, it's not like they're expanding the empire. I feel like they own that place. Well, they just choose to make it a prison island.
I guess, yeah.
they are the citizens of that spot. It's just they don't treat them very well. They have two classes.
Yes.
And we don't like that. I don't like that.
I don't like that either. No. But again, spoiler alert, we end in a giant dance party with the two sides coming together and uniting on the bridge. Woohoo! And then the four being like, hey, let's go visit our parents again, because we haven't seen them since the first one. Like, all of these actors are just like gone. So
yeah
anyway, so those are the three movies. If you've never seen them, now you know that's what happens.
Yes. So on to Descendants, the Royal Wedding. Not a royal wedding, the Royal Wedding. Now, this came out this year. Let me give you some basic information. It was released August 13th, 2021. It was released on the Disney Channel. It's a Disney Channel original film, if you will, but it's more like a short special. And the director was Salvador Simo. So not the same director who directed the first three. It shows a little bit, but the biggest thing is that there were quite a few different production companies that were involved in this, specifically for the animation. So we obviously have, you know, the Disney television animation, but they brought in other studios to help, which a lot of studios obviously do. They just spread the workload. It was Bad Angels Productions and 5678 Productions. It's starring the original cast except for Carlos. The actor, died in 2019, and it was really sad. And so instead of recasting him, they just decided just to not really have him in there. And there's just a little blink and you miss it sort of moment where they talk about him, but they don't talk about it.
I know.
They don't say what happened. They're like, yeah, we just really miss him. They're like, we don't want to open this can of worms. I don't know. Let's just lead off with that, because I personally felt that I wasn't really invested in the characters or the actors as much as probably the target demographic was.
Oh, yeah.
So this was a big deal. But it just felt a little weird to not have him. I'm kind of two ways. Like, one, at the same time, I didn't really miss him because he was kind of like the four out of four, mm-hmm. as far as the three. And so, you know, he was like my least favorite. We didn't really get a lot of him. You know, he's not Mal.
Right.
But at the same time, like, I feel for that reason, they could have just animated him in the background, you know, and not have a speaking role, but he could still be there in essence. I think just because an actor dies doesn't necessarily mean you have to write that character off. But I understand the weird situation that they were in.
Yeah, so because Cameron Boyce, he died at the age of 20 after suffering an epileptic seizure in his sleep, which mm-hmm. was so sad when I heard. I mean, the thing is, I'm not in the target demographic, and I also don't have Disney Channel, so I have Disney Plus, and that's about it. And so I didn't know who he was, and I had no real connection to him. And so when he died, I just heard everybody was like really upset about this. And I was oh, okay, something happened. Like, the community is very upset. I can feel this. I'm here in Florida with some friends, and their little daughter is 8 years old. And she's like, oh, yes, he died at this age. And it was so sad. I was like, oh, gosh, like, everybody knows this. And so they have the moment where it's just like the three of them being like, oh yes, I really miss Carlos. Oh yes, we all miss him as well. And then they give her this bracelet that represents all four of them. And then at the very, very end, the bracelet kind of shimmers on its own. The two bones that represents his, like, shimmers on its own. And so
yeah.
I guess it's like his spirit is there. I think based on the situation, like, I hate to say this, but it is true. The fact that, like, you have all these young child actors who end up getting into drugs and they end up getting into all these kind of crazy things, and then they die young for weird reasons. But this one was, like, not due to choices that somebody had made. It was just, like, his own health was this. And
right.
So I think that made it even more of a hurt. Just more of a tragedy, because nobody was expecting any of it. And he seemed like a really good kid. He was actually very prolific. I was looking at his IMDb. He had a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah. So, okay. It is officially time. We need to talk about the animation, because that's the one big thing that sets this film apart from the others, is that instead of being a live action, which makes sense, and I thought we would have continued down that path, they decided to go and make it an animated special. And I tried to do some research on this to figure out why.
Is it just because they were so young?
I think it was maybe because when they were kind of considering this, it was the beginning of the 2020 pandemic. And so instead of having to do a big production, they could instead just record voices and then do an animated special. So that's what I can kind of cobble together. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but that seems to be the reason why. But even then, like, from what I've researched, it's not really clear why they decided to do this. Mm-hmm. And then they go with the traditional animation. Now, they had these other shorts that...
And you use traditional in quotes, because this is like 8-bit animation.
Well, not 8-bit. 8-bit is like the original Nintendo.
I know, but it's like, it's like only every four screens. So it's like, it's very chunky as it moves.
Yeah, it's like they're animated on 15s instead of, you know, 24s. And it's honestly like they forgot their in-betweens. And it is so jarring watching it. It's really hard to watch. You think, oh, maybe it's just this one scene. Maybe they didn't have time for it. Oh, nope. It's all of them. And very important scenes, they do it as well. There's maybe just like a very few handful where... it looks okay, and they probably put a little bit more money towards that. But I'm like, why are you going to this length to create this thing and to make it a completely different style so people are going to notice? And then just to do such a poor job. You are freaking Disney.
Yeah.
I don't care if it is your direct-to-video or direct-to-video. This is worse than direct-to-video.
Yeah.
Direct-to, you know, your Disney Channel. Over time, you have created an elevated brand for the Disney Channel original movies and those franchises, mostly because they're in live action and they do a really great job. They have great production values and songs. And so we're expecting the exact same thing here. And boom, we're hit in the face with just this choppy, unfinished animation and the character designs as well. They almost looked rotoscoped, like they kind of just traced over their face and then call it a day. It's really pitiful and sad to watch. And that alone just knocks it down like so many stars for me.
Well, the plot of this, I wasn't expecting anything amazing. So let's just put that out there. But at the same time, I had hoped for something at least passable. And the plot for this one was just kind of weird because, okay, they're getting married. You know, they're finally getting married.
Like, a party in Aradon. It's a party in Aradon.
You have Hades coming in, and she's dead set on having her dad there, which I get. Even though he left as a kid, like, and the only rekindling of their relationship they had was in the third movie, and even then it was like not great. Like, yeah, he saved the day at the very, very end, but I don't know, he's a baddie, you know. But anyway, so she,
but it's her daddy. He's a baddie daddy.
So anyway, he comes to the wedding, everything's all getting set up, and we don't see what happened. We just see the fact that everything gets set on fire and everyone runs away and Hades has ruined it all. And so she gives him the benefit of the doubt and says, no, I'm sure it wasn't his fault. I'm sure he would never do that to me. And so I'm just going to go and try to find him and make him be a part of my day. We still can't afford Kristen Chenoweth. And so even as
she's
a voice,
still a baby dragon.
So we got the little salamander coming out there. And but the salamander is wearing a hat this time. So there you go. Ben goes and tries to catch the salamander and then also ends up going to the island where Hades is, or his house is. And so when she comes with her group of people, you know, because, oh, they're like, oh, we're in my dress right now, but do we have to wear these dresses? Can we change back into normal clothes? Sure. Okay. Zing. Everybody's back into normal clothes. Okay. Thanks. And then that's where we hit the Carlos section when they're walking. But then everybody goes in to see Hades, and Hades then tells this story about what happened. He's like, well, yeah, it wasn't my fault. It wasn't my fault at all.
What? It's just a misunderstanding.
It was just not very well thought out, I would say. They could have done a lot more, or just anything else, and it probably would have been more touching or even just more realistic. I don't know. So it wasn't Hades' fault. Let's go get him. And they end up having the wedding right there in order to just get it over with.
Get it over with. That's what you want for a wedding. Like, let's just get this over with.
And then fairy godmother comes in and bippity boppity bops all of them back to the castle church area where everybody is just taking up their seats once again. And then, spoiler alert, outer space dance party. So
yeah,
it was so weird. And at the end of each one of these has had a moment where they like have a cutaway of like, oh, you didn't think that was the end, did you? And
yeah,
this one, it kind of does the same thing where they like go over to where they painted the roses red. And mm-hmm. I'm like, you know, they probably want me to care, but I just don't. So that's the whole a royal wedding or the royal wedding.
Yes. Yeah, it's so sad because they couldn't even scramble together half of a plot. You know, the whole Hades things gets resolved before the half time of the show.
Yeah.
You know, within the first 7 minutes, it's like, okay, yeah, oops, it was just an accident. Okay, cool, Dad. You know, and then the rest of it's just kind of talking about Carlos and missing him and like, oh, what are we going to do? There's no point in this. There's no point, which... It's fine. It's the wedding. The wedding is the point. But they kind of had to manufacture all this drama leading up to it. And it led the final wedding, which was really supposed to be the climax and thing you were looking forward to, just kind of feel like a letdown, especially with how it was handled. Like, yeah, okay, let's just do it here. And I don't know. I'm always like, no, you need to be prim and proper and get everything done the right way. And so I just was like, ah, no. Oh, the most important people are here already. But it's cool.
The most important people can be there too. Let's go.
Right, right. So they're just, okay, great. They're going to be, you know, they're finally getting married. They're finally getting married. But it was boring. At this point, it's like, how many times have we kind of like seen these characters before? There was nothing new, nothing exciting. You know, Hades, they just have to like make him a bad guy because he is a bad guy. And I didn't love it. I'm sorry.
I didn't at all.
The animation was really hard to watch.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you don't even have... There obviously are films where the animation is so poor quality. You overlook it because the story is so engaging. The characters are so incredible. But that was not the case for this.
Well, even if you were to compare this to Tangled Forever After, the Forever After short didn't have any major plot changes. It was, you know, trying to get the ring from one place to another. So it's not like it was dire like dad's ruining the wedding, but
right.
It was somehow a whole lot more engaging than this was.
Yeah, and that's why I feel like this series and franchise has kind of fizzled out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the first one I thought was good. It was good enough. Second, mm-hmm. meh, okay. And third, I just really lost interest. The whole Audrey thing, I was like, oh, please. I do not buy this at all. That suddenly she just flips and turns bad. But at the same time, I liked that one because it shows like anyone can be bad. You know, anyone can be good. It's not necessarily, you know, who your parents are. But I just, again, it just like wasn't believable. So I don't know. I'm really not sure what else to say about this one. Just woof. The animation, woof, woof, woof. Speaking of Carlos.
Yeah. Or dude is the dog's name.
Yeah.
And the dog keeps talking. Why does dog have to talk?
No, get him out of here. No.
I don't get it. Why?
It's like they have these little bits from previous ones. They're like, oh, wouldn't that be cool if? Oh, remember that?
Yeah.
No. Let's leave that in the past.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're looking at the whole series as a whole, I didn't need to see the third. The first and second were actually pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And no, I wouldn't say go straight to solid, but for a Disney Channel original movie, solid. you know?
Yeah. So what would you rate it? Would you rate this film? And then would you rate the series as a whole?
Okay. So this film, one star. Like, it's just... And it maybe could just be because I had just spent the last 5 hours watching all of these. So I was like,
yeah,
okay. But yeah, I really wasn't impressed. And I didn't feel like it... it was like, okay, whatever. The series as a whole... I would give the series as a whole like 3 stars, 3.5 for the first two. But yeah, that's where I'm at.
Yeah, I'm going to give this one, I don't know, 1.5 stars. It, the animation just pulls it down probably 3 stars alone.
Yeah.
It's really bad to watch. It's a really poor showing for Disney. You're known for animation. So if you're going to take an original property that's live action and you're going to turn it animated, we're expecting really good stuff. You know, even the Disney Toon Studios of the early 2000s, their animation quality was fantastic. And so it just shows that this was kind of cobbled together. They clearly didn't have any budget, which is disappointing. Like, if you're not going to do it right, why do it at all? And I would love to know the behind the scenes of what happened here, because it's embarrassing, frankly, especially, you know, clearly it's not the end. They're hoping to turn it into something else, maybe once they can start, you know, filming again and whatnot. You know, we'll get technically a fourth movie. Does this count as a fourth movie? I mean, is it a short? Oh, I don't know.
Hi.
It's not a movie, so they're wanting to do more with this, clearly, but like, they just have to like throw this out there just to give us a bone, like, that's mangled and already eaten. Woof. And disgusting. Yeah, woof. So there's that. Then the series, you know, the first one I'd give 3.5. The second I would give 3. No, yeah. The third I would give probably 2.5 stars. Mm-hmm. It just wasn't enjoyable at all. And it's like they didn't really know where to go with some of these things after a while. Like, they have an idea, like, oh, Audrey turns bad, but that's it. They don't really have a great way to develop these characters. I really do like Mal. I think she's a really great character. I like her act. I like the actress who plays her. She's stunning. I like Evie, and, you know, I like their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, it kind of kept repeating itself over and over and over again. So as a whole, I would give the series a 3.
Yeah.
But this one, a 1.5 stars.
One of the other parts that I felt that was a lost bit was the fact that Ben never got any change. Like, he was always just the good guy. And not to say that I wanted him to go bad, but I wanted him to actually have some turmoil of some kind, some type of a change. And he didn't have any arc.
Other than, like, he has a spell put on him.
Right.
Which literally gives him no action.
Right. So he's a very passive character, and I feel like they made him the perfect prince, which, I mean, great, awesome. But like, I would have liked to have seen more depth of his side and more having to like make more decisions as opposed to just like being, well, I'm just always gonna do this, and, well, okay, Mel, whatever you want. And I'm like,
yeah, he's super passive.
Yeah, and I just, that's not, for any guys out there listening, that's really not attractive. I mean, like, they want to put that out there as being, like, the guys that follow all the girls, you know, happy wife, happy life, which, you know, to an extent, that's true. But there's also the side of, like, there's got to be an active force happening in these things, and he just wasn't. And so, yeah, also, if you're writing a story and you've got a guy that is just doing that but has no internal changes happening, then it's a very flat character and needs help
for sure.
But anyway, as a villain story, I was like, cool, once again, bedazzled jackets for the win. I was very much impressed. And so, yeah, I mean, I would like to know what everybody else thought on this series for anybody who has gone in and wants to have their little rant. We invite you to rant.
Rant along with us. Yeah, well, one more mini rant about the animation. They had the models already created for the CGI characters. And they looked okay. They looked okay enough. And I just don't understand.
There's two seasons of that. And granted, yeah, they're all why, like 2 minutes
why they couldn't
long,
just, but... hey, we already have this. Let's just use this. People are already kind of familiar with this style. Let's just keep it going. Like, why did we have to go full 2D and just like give 2D a bad rap? Not a fan. Yeah. I need someone to pull the cover behind what really, really happened here. I would love to know.
Spill the tea.
But that is for another day. If you have that secret, you worked behind the scenes, you can send us an anonymous voicemail. This is how the whole Free Britney movement got really gained steam, was with an anonymous voicemail. We are totally down. If you worked in production or you know the secrets behind the scenes of Descendants, the Royal Wedding, give us a call. We'll keep you completely anonymous and it'll be some good times. So
I can even throw a voice changer on your vocal if you want me to.
Ooh, yeah. Okay. Or if you have any behind the scenes about anything in any other production studio, send it our way. Rotoscopers.com/voicemails. We would definitely, for a nerdy couch discussion, we can do a tea episode. We could turn this into a drama podcast, animation drama channel. Okay, I'm here for it. So
I would totally
I actually am going to be doing, maybe if I can ever get around to it, I want to do, an expose, if you will, YouTube video all about how Disney screwed the pooch on Tangled the series. There's so much crap that Disney did. Mm-hmm. It's so frustrating. And I don't think people really know. Like, people say, oh, like, it's crazy. No one knew about this show. There are reasons. And there are specific things that Disney television leadership did that just was not cool, man. So if I ever have time, find time to sit here and like write out a script and do all my research, I will. So that's hopefully coming. But yes, send us all your tea.
If I can sit down for 5 hours, Morgan, and watch all of these, I have faith that you can find 5 minutes every day.
Okay. All right. We'll work on it. So, guys, that's all we have for today. For the show notes for this episode, be sure to go to rotoscopers.com/224. And until next time, we are the Rotoscopers.
I'm leaving space for you to say something.
Oh, those are all okay.
Well, I mean, quick note, these movies like this really were what romanticized the ideas of like going away to boarding schools as a kid. It's like Harry Potter, things like this. So it's like, oh, let's go to a castle and live in one of those. That'd be great.
Yeah.
That's end of that story.
You've been listening to the Animation Addicts podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe and be sure to leave us a 5-star review. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you want to help spread the word, be sure to share the podcast with your friends on social media. Just don't forget to tag us at Rotoscopers on Instagram and use the hashtag Animation Addicts. For all the links and full show notes for this episode, go to rotoscopers.com/podcast. Now, if you still can't get enough for your animation fix, be sure to subscribe to us on YouTube and visit rotoscopers.com for more animation news, reviews, and